All right. Praise the Lord. It's good to see y'all here in the sanctuary this evening. And those of us that are online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by praising with He Has Made Me Glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. Praise the Lord. Start recording, start streaming, you know, the usual, yeah. I just walked up here and totally forgot to do that. Sorry, guys.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to You the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to You the sacrifices of joy.
Yeah. Praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. Soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen.
Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Lift up your banner, let the anthems ring. Praises to our King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Lift up your banner, let the anthems ring. Praises to our King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
You got me on that? There we go. Way to go, online people. Good to see you 11 folks with us, or 11 households, or however that works out. It's probably more than 11 people, 11 instances of being online. Good to have y'all with us tonight. Do we have any praises tonight? Praise the Lord for the rain. Amen. It's a good praise. Getting plenty of rain again. Don't have to water the grass. Woohoo! I hate dragging that hose. I mean, I don't hate it, but it's not my funnest thing, right? Have to do it. If I drag the hose, it's either first thing I do, I'm drinking my coffee, I'm dragging the hose, watching my timer so my oatmeal doesn't burn, right? Or it's the last thing I do before I go get cleaned up, climb in the bed. So if you do it late at night, you get eat up with mosquitoes. If you do it early in the morning, you get eat up with. Yeah, it's not my favorite thing. Not my favorite thing. I cannot put on off right out of bed. I go, man, I'm for it. Amen. I'm for it. I'd love to have automatic sprinkler. That'd be awesome. All right, all right. Other praises. Praises. Yes, yes. Shoulders getting better. Amen, brother. Starting to sleep a little bit at night. Hallelujah. Amen, brother. Amen. That's good, good, good. Nothing like some good sleep. I'm going to get some good sleep tonight. I feel it. Coming on. Yes, sir, you got praise.
Yeah, Laura's dad got his AC fixed in his vehicle last week.
Oh, that's a good praise. Yeah, when the humid. Huh?
Amen.
That's the way to go. That's good, good. Nothing like needing some AC when the relative humidity is 90%. 90%. You go outside and you just start sweating. Mercy. All right. What else? Praises. Anybody else? All right, let's move on to prayer requests. I got a few for you. Ronnie Holman. Brother Ronnie, if you're watching us this evening, good to see you, Brother Ronnie. And we'll be praying for you here in a little bit for your surgery on Friday. So Ronnie and Nancy Holman will be praying for you guys. Love you guys. Thank y'all for always tuning in. Brother Paul McCormick, his surgery went off good. So he's in surgical recovery. Not in a room, though. No room to give him. So he's just down there in the kind of the bullpen intermediate care. Rooms are full with COVID folks, or quite a few COVID folks. So anyway, pray for Brother Paul that his recovery goes well. He's able to get in a room. He'll probably be there the rest of this week. And I did get the report that the surgeon took all of the lymph nodes above the top part of that left lung and would be sent off to pathology. So they said they would know in about a month if anything was in those lymph nodes, and then that will determine with his oncologist if he's going to have to take any more cancer treatments as far as radiation or chemotherapy. So let's be in prayer that those not have anything in them. Amen. I think he's been through enough, and let's get him recovered up and get him back going. His recovery will be 12 weeks. Surgeon said take about a year for you to get back to yourself. So that's a pretty good investment of time. So I want to lift Brother Paul up, continue to pray for him. Johnny Hyman, Miss Socorro's son, Socorro Hermes. He was taken by ambulance to the hospital today. His pulse ox was down in the 70s. That's getting serious. Said he couldn't breathe. Yeah, that's right. So COVID, probably got the Delta. And so be in prayer for Johnny Hyman. I think he's 62, 63, sis. Or is he young? No, he's younger than that. 55. Okay, I pictured him low 60s. So he's mid-50s. He's a couple years older than I am. All right, very good. All right, Johnny Hyman, be in prayer for him. He doesn't end up on the vent. All right, and then Brother Bill Neal on hospice. Miss Bicky was sharing with me that, you know, he's could go anytime, right? So we want to pray that good Lord just take him on home. Amen. Hadn't had anything to eat or drink in, what, over a week? Yeah, it's time. It's time. That lingering stuff on the morphine, it's time to go be with the Lord. Amen. Time to go be with Jesus. So we'll lift up Brother Bill tonight in that. What else? Prayer requests. Yes. Ron DeBose's mother, that's correct. Also in the hospital with COVID. I can't remember her name. But I did get that. I want to say Stephanie got that on Facebook. Hospital. COVID. Okay. What else? Yes, sir. Oh, amen, brother. Amen. You know the prayer we need to pray. We don't leave a man or woman behind. Don't leave a man or woman behind. And what's crazy? What is crazy? I found out today. I mean, had no idea, right? Had no idea. We got more troops at the airport than we pulled troops out. Oh, my soul. Pray for your president. Yeah. Well, I don't think so. I think they've planted a seed. You know, let's try to spin it as positive as we can for their sake. You know, they gave the Afghanis 20 years of what it could be. 2 decades, right? Oh, yeah, that's a tough nut to crack. The Russians tried, now we've tried, who else has tried? Great Britain, a bunch of people going in there, it's a mess. I just don't want to see our Americans not able to get to the airport. I think that's immoral. That's immoral on our government's part. Let's just call it what it is. It's immoral to leave our Americans. We got 6,000 troops and plenty of firepower here at the airport, but you've got three Taliban checkpoints to get through to get here. So, yeah, Brother John. Right. Yeah, right. Right. Volatile situation. And let's remember, I mean, let's don't hang it all on Joe. Trump wanted to take him out by May. Had he been elected or gotten the election or whatever, he'd wanted to take him out on May. Let's just say it's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. It's poor execution, very poor execution. And the bottom line is we need Americans out. Amen? And I don't know how many of them are stuck out away from the airport. But if you're stuck out away from the airport, you got to go through Taliban checkpoints. And if you're an American, they ain't probably not going to let you through, right? They probably going to make an example out of you in the streets, making it very difficult. All right, Afghanistan, we're going to lift up that situation. What else? What else? Wow. You talking about a brave group of people, man. Whoo! Yeah, the remnant. Yeah, in Haiti. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. The situation in Haiti. Amen. Earthquake. That, I can't remember the name of that kitchen. No, the famous chef started that food organization. They said they would be cranking out 30,000 meals a day to feed those people. So many people displaced. Haiti earthquake. We'll be lifting that up. What else? A lot of world events to pray for. Maybe praying for New York next week, New York and Boston. They got all that moisture from Fred moving in that direction. And hurricane, is it tropical storm or hurricane Gray? No, not Gray. It's Henri with an H. Henri is heading right up there. So we may be praying for that situation next week. What else, what else? Nothing? Okay. All the flooding, that's right. Yeah, amen. All right, all right. Hadn't sent anybody home yet sick. All right, scanning everybody every morning. All right, amen. Very good, schools and teachers. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to intercede on behalf of others, Lord. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the grace that we find in Jesus. Lord, we're thankful for your love and your forgiveness and just your kindness and compassion to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together tonight and meet in relative comfort. On a padded seat in air-conditioned room. Lord, we bless beyond measure tonight. So we just thank you and praise you for that. Lord, as we come to you, we lift up these praises that we heard. We're thankful, Lord, that you answer prayers and you bless people and you help people in time of need. And Lord, we just celebrate these praises and we lift them up to you and just praise you for being an awesome and mighty God. Lord, we lift up Brother Ronnie Holman tonight to you. We pray for him and Nancy, specifically pray for Ronnie, that this surgery he has on Friday, Lord, you would use it to bring healing to his body. And God, you would just see him through, help him, Lord. Pray for his recovery after the surgery. We do pray the surgery does take place, if it be thy will, on Friday, that the COVID would not cause that to be canceled, that there'd be room and surgeons and nurses and all that stuff to do that, bring healing to Ronnie's body. But Lord, we just pray for the surgeon now, pray for the anesthesiologist, we pray for all the surgical people, all the pre-op people, all the post-op people. Lord, we just pray they take extra special care of Brother Ronnie this coming Friday. Lord, we just lift him up to you. We pray for Brother Paul McCormick, and we're thankful that his surgery is a success. And Lord, they took that cancerous tissue and that part of his lung out of his body. Lord, we pray now that the lymph nodes that they also removed would not be cancerous, not be any cancer in those, Lord. We pray that that cancer was just confined right there to that lung. And Lord, we pray now that that's been removed, that the cancer has been removed, and Brother Paul can get on down the road to recovering and recouping and getting his strength back. But Lord, we lift him up to you tonight. Pray for Miss Pat. Pray for their family as they travel back and forth, try to visit him. Be limited visits, family only, and probably one a day. But Lord, we pray you watch over them, help them as they make that commute back and forth. Lord, we lift up Johnny Hyman to you, Miss Socorro Hermes' son. We pray for him and his prognosis with the COVID, Lord, and we're thankful that he finally lifted up the white flag and said, I got to go, I can't breathe. Lord, we're thankful that he's where he can get some help. He's where he can be watched, be on O2, oxygen. Lord, we pray that as he's receiving the oxygen tonight and tomorrow and the next day, that God, his lungs would begin to repair and just rejuvenate that tissue. We pray there not be any kind of lasting scar tissue, any kind of lasting permanent damage, that, Lord, his lungs would respond and come back. And, Lord, he'd not have to go on the vent. He'd not have to be in that induced coma business, God. We pray that you spare Johnny from all that. Thank you for his wife and his daughter and his granddaughter, that they're doing better. But, Lord, we pray a special prayer for Johnny Hyman. We know that Houston Northwest is lifting him up as well. But, Lord, we just want to join in that concert of prayer and pray that you touch Johnny's body tonight. Lord, we lift up Brother Bill Neal to you. We're thankful for his life, Lord. And, Father God, he's run his race, and here he is at the end, Lord, at the finish line. And, Father God, we pray that you would just ease him on into eternity, that, God, you would just help him as he's going through this valley of the shadow of death. Lord, we pray that there would be no suffering and no pain. And God, you just help his body relax and help his focus and his countenance just lock upon you and look upon you. And Lord, we just pray that even tonight might be that sweet embrace as he steps out of this world and steps into the next with you. So Lord, we lift him up. We pray for Miss Karen. We pray for her brothers. And Lord, we just pray for the rest of their family. Help them as they go through this difficult time. We lift up Brian DeBose to you, his mother, and Lord, we pray for her as she is in the hospital with the COVID, and they are praying that she does not have to go on the vent, and Lord, be in the induced coma. Father God, we pray you keep her numbers up and her oxygen up, and Lord, you just see her through that situation, and Lord, watch over her, be with Brian, and as he deals with the anxiety of that, checking on his mom and caring for his dad and all of that stuff. Lord, we just pray you watch over that situation. Father God, we come to these international problems, and Lord, we got a list here, Lord, and we asking for your help. We praying for all the Americans in Afghanistan, Lord, that want to get out, Lord. We pray you'd make a way for them somehow, some way. Use our government, use Afghanis, use the intelligence of disguise. But, Lord, we pray that you'd help them get to the airport or get to another airport or get to some kind of means of escaping the Taliban in Afghanistan, Lord. We pray that you just make a path for these folks. And, Lord, we pray for our government. We pray for our president that, Lord, he would not leave a man or woman behind, that he would see to it that each and every contractor, each and every worker, each and every spouse, each and every child, Lord, would would get delivered from this situation and back to American ground, back to American soil. We pray for the Afghanis tonight. Pray a specific prayer for the women and the young girls. Lord, we pray that the freedoms that they have gained over these last 20 years would not be erased within these next 20 days. That, Lord, there would be some kind of semblance of a representative government somehow in the midst of all that Taliban stuff. Lord, we pray that Sharia law would not take back over, and we pray that there would not be a caliphate come out of the midst of all this Afghanistan stuff. Lord, protect our homeland, protect our people, and Lord, we pray you might bring them home to us. We lift up the little island country of Haiti tonight, Lord. We pray for these earthquake victims and pray for these families that have lost loved ones. Many didn't have much, Lord, and they've lost it all. And Lord, we pray for them. We lift them up. Thank you for the aid that's going in there. Thank you for the food support, the medical aid. Father God, I pray that you help those that are looking for survivors. Give them great discernment and wisdom where to dig and what to lift and what not to lift. And Lord, we pray that as many lives that can be dug out, Lord, we pray they get to get dug out alive and recover and move on from here, Lord. But just help them. Lord, comfort them. Thank you for the Christians that are there, the missionaries that are there, those that are there in Haiti as well as Afghanistan, Lord, especially those in Afghanistan. We pray that you protect those Christians there, the Afghanis that have received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, have left Islam, no longer Muslim. Lord, we pray that you put a hedge of protection around them. Lord, help them as the church certainly is going to go underground for a while. I pray that it be strengthened, protected, and Lord, in the midst of the persecution, as we see in the New Testament, it would grow. So Lord, we pray for that situation in Afghanistan and Haiti as well. We do lift up our president. We pray you give him wisdom. Pray you give him great discernment, Lord. Pray for his cabinet, Lord, those that are in charge of the military. We just pray that, Lord, they get a good plan together for this situation in Afghanistan. Lord, we do lift up the flooding victims in Georgia and North Carolina. We pray that the aid that they desperately need would come from FEMA and other government agencies, Lord, Salvation Army and other places like that. And, Lord, you'd help them to begin to rebuild their lives. Lord, where's too much water in the east, too much fire in the west. We pray for these spots in California and Washington State and in Oregon and other places that are just flaming tonight. Lord, we pray that you help them, protect human life, Lord, there and those folks' property. But certainly, Lord, the property can be replaced, but the human life cannot. So, Lord, we just pray your protecting hand there. And then, Lord, we continue to pray for our schools and our teachers. We're thankful that we're off to a good first week of school. And, Lord, as many districts already in the state of Texas have shut down, Lord, we pray that that not happen in this area. Lord, seems like East Texas and some districts up in the north part of the state and then far west part of the state. Lord, we just pray that you help those districts get back going. And Lord, we pray that we not have this huge Delta variant spread here in these districts and certainly not even in our own Christian school. We do pray for Conroe ISD, who has experienced quite a bit of Delta variant already, and have quarantined quite a few folks, teachers and students. Lord, we pray you watch over them. Pray that no teacher or child would lose their life because of their attempt to educate and be educated. Father God, we thank you for your word tonight. Pray that you lead us and guide us and open our minds so that we might receive it, our hearts, so that we might apply it. And Lord, may we get our will lined up with your will and your word so that we can be the best church we can be the best Christian we know how to be. Lord, help us each and every day become more and more like Christ. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. What you got there, Bob? Not Bobby. Bobby and Brian's dad's name is Aubrey. Bobby and Aubrey. That's right. Yeah. B-O what? Y-E, Bobby DeBose. That's right, I remember that now. All right, kids, Take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 14. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God. Revelation 14. We've looked at this. This is our third swing at it, all right? Revelation 14, beginning in verse 1. Those of you online, 14, Revelation, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God reads, "Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. They sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless." Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. You may be seated. The Ultimate Christian Winners, third installment, third Bible study. We have already covered verse 1, talking about how we see a what? A monumental moment in redemptive history. Secondly, we said we see the uniqueness of this group, the 144,000, in redemptive history. Some points we were trying to make about this group and how unique they were, we've covered. We said they are an army of militant believers, right? We said they are protected by their seal. The name of, what does it say, verse 1, 14:1? "With him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads." All right, they're protected by their seal. We said last time they will enter the millennial kingdom as living men, right? Now, as best we can tell from the biblical record, they will preach the gospel during the millennial kingdom, right? People are going to procreate. There's going to be children born. Some will believe. Some will not, which is kind of hard to put your, kind of hard to wrap your mind around that. Jesus is going to be ruling a theocracy of all the world from Jerusalem. And, I mean, he's going to be here in the flesh for 1,000 years. And yet you're going to have people still exercise their free will and choose not to believe, right? And so these people, these 144,000 men, they will be preaching the gospel, best scholars can discern, they'll be preaching the gospel during that millennial kingdom. The 144,000 will be living proof of the promises found in Psalm chapter 91, verses 5 through 16. I'll invite you to turn there. Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 5. You found it? Psalm 91, verse 5. All right. And we will read all the way through verse 16. It says, "You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. And then verse 16, with a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. 144,000 will be living proof of the promises found in that passage of Psalms. God will protect his own and bring them triumphantly through their trials. When we think about the 144,000. And so when we think about these 144,000 men, we think about this passage in Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. What major doctrinal principle does this kind of all speak of here? Anybody got a stab at it? I mean, you could say perseverance of the saints. You could say eternal security. Amen. That would be kind of what we're looking at. What do you mean by eternal security? Perseverance of the saints. Well, what do you think I mean? Once saved, what? Yeah. Can you lose your salvation? No. Right? Now, we take that to the wrong end sometimes, and we try to make folks that have had a religious experience, we try to make them appear to be saved when they're not. But if you've genuinely been saved, you ain't losing that salvation. It's called perseverance of the saints. It's called the doctrine of eternal security. Eternal security is true for both kinds of survivors on the earth, both kinds. It's true for the 144,000 that survive and do not die. And it's also true, eternal security is true for the martyrs in heaven. Just because they died physically doesn't mean they lost anything, does it? No, they're ushered right into the very throne room with a glorified body in heaven, right? We see a couple of groups. We see them in Revelation 6, 9 through 11. We see them in Revelation 7, 9 through 17. These groups of martyrs that are killed off that end up in around the great throne with the 24 elders and all of that stuff. Jesus promised, throughout the Word of God, he promised in John chapter 6, verse 37, he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29 says, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul writing to the church at Philippi, says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will what? He will what? Perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. 24th verse of the book of Jude says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. One more passage. You probably know this one. Book of Romans. Let's look at that one together. Acts, Romans, right? After the Gospels there. Romans chapter 8. Oh, it sounds familiar, preacher. It does, doesn't it? Romans 8, verses 31. Romans 8, 31. Ever you need a pick-me-up, Romans 8, 31 through 39. Ever you feel a little down, Romans 8, 31 through 39. Word of God reads in Romans 8, 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? just as it is written, for your sake we are all being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Good passage, man. Keep that one. Make a note on that one. As we think about what we want to cover tonight, right? Triumphant Christians. If you're taking notes on this deal. Triumphant Christians. We're talking about these 144,000 men. They're the ultimate Christian winners. But generally speaking, triumphant Christians are marked by constant praise to God. Constant praise to God. Back to Revelation chapter 14 from Romans there, verses 2 and 3. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. First, these 144,000, they get their praise on. I mean, they get their praise on. Standing with the Lamb on Mount Zion, the 144,000 will join in the heavenly song of redemption. It's going to be beautiful. With all the devastation they have seen, with all the trouble they have faced, with all the rejection, hostility, hatred, and persecution that they have endured, one might expect them to be too sorrowful to sing. Man, I just need a minute. I got to cool my jets. I got to rest here for a moment. I got to take some time off. But instead of that, they will joyously praise the Lord for their protection and their triumph. Now, their praise is instigated. Their praise is instigated by what appears to be a voice from heaven, but is really much more than a voice. This is not the first time John heard a voice from heaven. We can compare passages like Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. We can go back and look at Revelation 10, verse 4, 10, 8. We can go back and look at Revelation 11, 12. We can even go back to 12, verse 10. Nor will this be the last time that John, the great revelator, hears a voice from heaven. As we can go forward in the book of Revelation to verse 13, or chapter 18, verse 4, chapter 19, verse 1. But the voice John heard, what I want you to see here, had volume to it, was very loud, and it was continuous. Verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters. What do you know if you go to the beach? What do you hear? Many waters. Or if you're by a river, what do you hear? I mean, you just hear the flow, right? You hear one wave come in, and guess what? As soon as that wave goes out, what do you hear? Another wave come in, right? Or if you're by a river and the river's running through the rocks, what do you hear? You hear that beautiful, continuous, voluminous sound of that water moving, right? That's what he kind of compares it to. It's loud and continuous. Notice the phrasing that John uses for when we look at Revelation 19:6. Let's turn there right quick. Revelation 19:6. Jump ahead in the story. 19:6. 19:6 says that I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns, right? Notice the phrasing John uses when we compare it to Revelation 19:6. That verse uses both of these phrases to describe the voice of a heavenly multitude. So what we have here, what's going on here, what really is being described here is many voices, something like a large heavenly choir. Now, these guys are on Mount Zion. Jesus has finally stepped down. Second Advent has happened as we jump around in the time frame of the book of Revelation. And you can kind of picture the sky opening up and the throne room of God visible from Mount Zion, and this beautiful exchange of singing coming out of the throne room down to the earth. That's going to be me and you, friend. That's where we're at. We've been raptured, or we've died and got a glorified body or whatever, but we in the throne room. We're part of that choir. Amen? We're getting to sing down here to these 144,000 Jesus on Mount Zion. The song began, where did the song begin? The song began with the four living creatures and the 24 elders. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 5, we'll just kind of trace and flesh this thing out. Revelation 5, beginning in verse 9, the Word of God reads, and they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Verse 10 says, "You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." The next to join in on the new song were the myriads of angels. Look at 5:11 and 12. "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" And then we see after that, every created thing joins in the praise. Verse 13 says, "And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all the things in them, I heard saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.'" Isn't that going to be cool? Imagining your dog singing, your cat chiming in, right? Your little goldfish. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, how that's all going to work, I don't know. But they know something, right? The trees, the rocks, everything cries out. Then you have the tribulation martyrs joining the ever-building chorus in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. "After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Now, the mighty voice was not mere noise. It wasn't just mere white noise. For this corporate praise had a musical quality to it. A musical quality like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. Whenever you see harpists or harps in the Bible, when that comes up, harps suggest that the voice expressed was not characterized. This is not a judgment song, but this is a joy song. Amen? Harps are frequently associated in the Old Testament with joyous praise. So what's really going on here? Heaven will resound with loud praise when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in triumph to establish His earthly kingdom. The song sung in heaven before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders is the song of redemption. It's the song of redemption. The angels will join the Old Testament saints, the raptured church, and the redeemed tribulation martyrs and praising God for salvation. And while the angels do not experience redemption, the angels are blown away by redemption, by the exercising of free will, and by the exercising of God's sovereignty, and how that mystery comes together in humanity. It literally blows them away. Luke 15:10 says, "In the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner, one who repents." Well, friend, when we get to the end of it, and we're singing about the redemption of all of it that have gotten saved, the angels are going to be beside themselves, right? All heaven will overflow with praise because God's redemptive work culminating in the return of Christ, the second advent, heaven's praise overflows to earth where the new song is taken up. It's been going on in the heavens, and now it shows up here on the earth. Now, I want you to notice the exclusivity of the praise. Exclusivity. John notes that no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. Now, the unregenerate, those that are lost, Jesus has just come on his second advent. He's not cleaned the house yet. The unregenerate cannot sing the song of redemption. The song is only for the redeemed, those purchased by Christ's blood. Now, why the song is restricted to the 144,000? Above my pay grade. It's not stated here. But if we approach our Bibles systematically, in other words, if we don't just spend all of our time in Revelation, but if we try to make some connections with other books and with other parts of the Bible, we may get close to what is going on here with this song and the exclusivity of it. What do you mean by that? Well, this thing called systematic theology, where you take a doctrine and you follow it all the way through the Bible, or you take redemption and you follow it all the way through the Bible. It's a system. It's a theology. If we think with a mindset of systematic theology, we might find a possible explanation to all this. Now, the first thing we know is that they have been purchased, redeemed from among men. Now, there is a sense in which all saved people have been purchased, redeemed from the earth. However, these could know the meaning of such a thing, the meaning of such a theme in a more profound way than others. These 144,000 could know that more than others. For they have been saved after the rapture. They have been saved at that time in history when man's greatest persecutions and God's greatest judgments were on the earth. They're saved in the midst of all that. And then they come together as this 144,000, and then they go out and preach the gospel to these sinners to be saved, right? And so they really know this theme of redemption. Now, I ask you the question, what time, if you think about the grand scope of human history, what time in human history does this time here somewhat remind you of? Somewhat. Anybody? Jeremiah? It's been a long day. No? How about this? How about the days of Noah? The days of Noah. Noah had received grace from the Lord, yes? Yes, yes. He had received grace from the Lord. He was separated, Noah was separated from all the earth's inhabitants. Noah was protected to begin again. Remember? Protected to begin again, right? Fast forward back to the 144,000 Revelation. And not only will these men be redeemed spiritually, but like Noah, they will be redeemed from every curse on the earth, being protected from death by the guarding seal that's written upon their head, right? Hence, we could say that Noah was protected and sealed in the ark. When him and his family went in and all of the animals two by two went in, the Bible says in Genesis 7:16 that the door was shut, sealed, so to speak, right? So the reason of the exclusivity of the song by the 144,000 perhaps has something to do with the fact that they were protected from the curses and judgments on the earth just like Noah and his family were. Just like Noah and his family were. So let's review as we close it out tonight. The 144,000 will join the heavenly chorus in praising God for His marvelous work of redemption. Some of the lyrics of this song may be found in chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Take your Bibles and turn there real quick. 15, 3 and 4. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." Amen? Right? It's good, good, good. The point of application for us is, back to the point that I gave you when we began, a mark of triumphant Christian living, a mark of triumphant Christian living in any era, in any time, is constant praise to God. Constant praise to God. Preacher, I'm living the victorious Christian life. Well, I would say the proof of that is, are you constantly praising God? Well, you know, I wouldn't say I'm constantly praising God. Well, I would say you don't really understand what victorious Christian living is all about. Because when you're experiencing victorious Christian living, you're going to be constantly praising God. Well, you don't have a service every day. You don't have a service every hour. That's not the point. You will be finding ways, saying sentence prayers, focused in, lasered in, locked on your relationship with Christ to the point that you are constantly through the day giving Him praise. Amen? That's the victorious Christian life. The 144,000, no doubt, they praised God throughout their time of trial and persecution. You can imagine going through what they went through, and they didn't die. They lived. I mean, it's kind of like that Subaru commercial. They look at the total Subaru. It looks like a mangled mess. And the guy says, they lived. And it goes to the next place. And the guy says, they lived. And it finally ends up at the wrecking yard. And the guy says, they lived. And everybody's kind of scratching their head. How did they do it? Well, they were in a Subaru. Well, these guys had the mark of Jesus and Father God on their head. And they gonna live through all of it. Through all of it. Which tells us what? What does it tell us? It tells us that the joy, friend, J-O-Y, joy is the proper outflow of a heart that trusts in God's sovereign power. Joy. Triumphant Christian living is going to be characterized by constant praise. Triumphant Christian living is going to be characterized by joy. Amen. Everybody say it. Joy, or just say joy. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13 says, "But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing, so that also at the redemption of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation," friend. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. Amen, folks? Good to see you all online. We'll see you soon. Those of you that we prayed for, we'll continue to pray for you. Amen. Those that we've mentioned tonight, don't forget to lift them up through the week. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for tonight, Lord. We thank you again for your word. And we thank you again that we got another installment on these greatest Christian winners in the Bible, these 144,000. Thank you for their testimony, Lord, and thank you for their stick-to-itiveness to stay with it through the end. All 144,000 make it and enter the millennial kingdom. Praise you and thank you for their testimony, their gospel presentation. And Lord, we pray in advance for the people that will be saved because of their gospel preaching. We pray that it be a huge, incredible time of coming to Christ, even in the midst of the Antichrist, even in the midst of the false prophet, even in the midst of the mark of the beast, even in the midst of everything going on, the judgments. Lord, we just pray in advance it would be a tremendous harvest of souls for your glory and for your honor. Father God, we thank you now that we're still in the church age. The rapture's not occurred yet, And Lord, it's the time of salvation. It's the time, it's the time of grace and mercy. So Lord, as we think about those that need to receive Christ that we know, we pray that they would experience that, the grace and the mercy of Jesus. Father God, may they receive Christ before it is eternally too late. And Father God, as we think about our own salvation, we always are thankful and blessed beyond measure to know that we have experienced, not a religious experience. No, we've had a spiritual experience. We don't just have some head knowledge. We have a genuine, real life, day-by-day relationship with you. And we praise you and thank you for that. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for all you do for us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. We'll see you next time. All right. Oh, you can't carry...